Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. We're talking about the first meeting.
On this beautiful summer day, it may not be beautiful. There's a little bit of wind out there, but when it comes to summer, we take anything we can get. It beats 25 below zero. A few announcements for you to take note of. First, a praise note that Bob sent out. His knee surgery went well, and it looked like, from his description, even better than they had expected. And he's going home today, apparently, and so that's all a blessing. Continue to pray for Bob. We've got some folks in our family who've had hip surgeries and knee surgery and so forth. So just because that part is done, there's a recovery period. So keep, and if you know anyone else who's had those surgeries, just keep praying for them that the healing goes well. The end of the service today, of course, coffee and conversation downstairs. Church council meets this Wednesday night at 6:30. Couple of upcoming events. Wednesday, June 19th is a work day, noon to 5, over at Wayne and Bernie's to continue to work on this project, Operation Christmas Child. And there are some examples. Oh, yeah, they're downstairs if you want to take a look at them. And a box in the back there. I don't know what all they're collecting, but you can ask Bernie about that. And then later on in the month, the Salvation Army serving. I understand they're doing takeout meals now, right? Instead of eating in. So folks help with that. And then the service at Waterview Pines at the end of the month, actually the last day of the month. One other announcement, I met with a group of pastors this week, sort of a humorous announcement, I guess. There's about 9-10 of us guys, none of the ladies were there. But out of the group, only one didn't have gray hair. So I fit right in. Anything else I missed? Okay, let's begin. If you would stand with me and read responsively the call to worship. Your hands made me and formed me. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me.
For I have put my hope in your word.
I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. And if you turn in your hymnals with me, to hymn number 338. Sort of the theme for today is the journey that we're on. Not a new journey, we're just keep traveling. A journey like no other leads to the throne of God. Yet washed by Jesus in passion for the lost, invited yet not worthy, adopted like a child into a royal family, the family of God. New clothes we wear as promised, new bodies death can stay. New heavens and a new earth with hallelujahs ring. As angels sing in chorus, hosannas old yet new,
This living congregation joins in the anthem too. All praise to God the Father, all praise to God the Son, all praise to God the Spirit, all praise the three in one.
Father, we just come before you this morning through the name of your Son, Jesus, our Messiah, your Son, Yeshua, in whom you are well pleased. We come before you to honor you as we gather together and also to get a little bit of your word for us for today and for this week. We thank you for the privilege of meeting, and we recognize that we meet with all of your true believers all over the world, maybe not at this hour, but this day, or yesterday, or whatever day they meet. We are part of your great ecclesia, the called out ones, your family of God. We thank you for that privilege. Meet with us now, touch our hearts, guide our thoughts, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Samuel 8, verses 4 through 11. And 16 through 20. It's on page 204 in your pew Bibles. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected as king, but me, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly. Let them know that the king who will reign over them, what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots." And then down to 16. "Your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys, he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." And the New Testament reading is from Mark 3:20 through 35, and that's on page 766. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they came to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived standing outside. They sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother."
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being brothers and sisters together. We thank you for the privilege also of giving to you our lives. We ask you to bless this time and our offerings to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ushers. Stand with me.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Holy Father, the Father and God of our Lord, Messiah Yeshua, we come before you this morning to honor you, to glorify you. Most High and Holy God, Yahweh, we honor you because you are righteous, because you are just and true. We honor you because you are the faithful God, and you have shown love to all people. We honor you, Jesus, because you came, because of your great love for your Father, our Father, and because of your great love for his creation. We honor you, Jesus, because you came to provide redemption for all mankind so that anyone can choose to follow you and receive the abundance of grace and gifts that you have with your Father and demonstrated to us when you were here on this earth. We glorify you, Holy Father. We glorify you, Holy Son. We glorify you, Holy Spirit. You are the point of our lives, the purpose, the heart. Father, today we would ask that you would be with those of our congregation and friends of us, of ours, who may be traveling. Be with them, guide them, direct them, and keep them safe. For those who need healing, like Bob, we thank you first of all for the success of his surgery. But many of us are experiencing ongoing healing. We ask that you would be our healer in the midst of our recovery. And we will give you the glory. We today would pray especially for those many, many people that we know that we're not sure know you, and would ask boldly that you would give us opportunity to share with them the good news of your great love for us and for all people. Father, there's so many ministries throughout the world that are declaring your goodness and doing great works, even including helping people in practical ways. We join with the rest of the body of Christ to ask that you would bless their efforts and exalt your name everywhere throughout the world. Continue to meet with us, guide us, and direct us by your Holy Spirit. We need you. And we thank you again through your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Messiah. Amen. Would you turn in your hymnals to 745?
To heaven, Jerusalem, that road is faced, reliant strong on Jesus Christ, God's only Son. There is a road to Jesus' prayer. And if you want to walk that way, on his own word you can rely, but do not doubt. There is a bridge from faith to rest. There is a road that goes to heaven, a road to God's Jerusalem. Right here, right now, it wherever it goes to God.
I should mention, too, the pastor's group that I met with. There was only one of the guys who was wearing hearing aids. I wonder who that was. And I'm struggling a little bit with my hearing aids. Roger and I have talked a little bit about that. I don't know. The frailties of humanity, hey? Being human. Well, today what I would like to do is talk about a little bit about my journey, talk a little bit about our journey and where we're headed, and I hope give you some challenges along the way. What I intend for this summer is to be able to study several of the basic principles of our faith. Next Sunday we will be studying the Word and the words of the Word. I am a believer that every single word in the original scriptures was given by God. Every single word. We struggle with that as believers. We'll take a look at that next week. And of course, we'll talk about salvation, which to me is like secondary. I mean, we get saved, but what about in between, the walk, the journey? Because I believe salvation starts when we accept Jesus, and when we get to heaven, it'll be awesome, but the struggle, at least in my life, has been the in-between, the day-to-day, the daily stuff. We're going to look at prayer, and I want to give you a word of encouragement. I don't believe I have the gift of faith. I don't believe I have the gift of healing as listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 5. But I've watched our prayer chain, and I don't know who on our prayer chain has got those gifts, but somebody does. Because we get good answers to prayer. I want to encourage you to use the prayer chain. But please, don't go try figuring out who it is, okay? Let's just do it and pray together and let God get the glory for it. We'll also talk about love, one of the most, my opinion, terribly misunderstood concept of Christianity and the world today. Our world absolutely does not know what love is. You've probably heard or been asked, how can a loving God send people to hell? That statement alone tells you that that person asking that question has no idea what love really is. So we'll be looking at that. We'll be looking at the good news. We call it the gospel. The Bible calls it the good news. We've created a religious word called gospel. And people, I think, know what it is. But I think we need to know that it's good news. We are in an era of grace where we are to proclaim the good news. We'll be looking at righteousness and justice. Most people, I have asked people, what do you think is the most important thing about God? And the most common answer I get is love. That's not true. The most important thing about God, according to his word, is righteousness and justice. The word of God tells us that righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. And we will be looking at a very interesting word. If you open your Bibles and you look at the cover pages, you'll find that it says the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we talk a lot about the covenant, but technically the Old Testament is covenant and the New Testament is testament. And we don't even use that word, testament. What does that mean? We'll be taking a look at that because there's a huge difference between what God was doing in the Old Testament and what God has done for us in the New Testament. And we're going to be looking at faith, and then one of the most challenging issues in my life, and that is healing. But to begin with, where do I come from? John 14:6, Jesus said, and you probably quote this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I use that in my daily prayer time. And when I get done with that, I covenant with Jesus. One more day today, I am willing, I choose, it's the word I use, I choose to follow your way, to walk in your path, not mine, your way, your will. That is my choice. And then, as I mentioned before, important to me, Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. I know Jonathan Edwards back in the 1700s, and, you know, I think everybody's familiar with one of his sermons, you are like a spider dangling over the pit of hell and the fires of hell. Okay, yeah, sort of true, because if you don't accept Jesus, that's probably the reality of it. But the New Testament is clear that what brings people to repentance is God's goodness. And so what Satan attacks all the time is God's goodness. That's why we get these questions. How come so-and-so, well, I'll talk about me, 6 years, 14 episodes of shingles. How come you get to have shingles? Why does God give you shingles? Easy answer, we probably all know it. God didn't give me shingles. It's the goodness of God that keeps me close to him. But if I move that one step and say, God, why did you give me shingles? I'm at risk because I'm no longer attributing goodness to him. The world is full of junk, sickness, disease, evil. 1975, I moved up to the Iron Range, and I'll talk about that call at some point this summer. Like I said, you'll get to know more about me than you ever wanted to know. But I moved up to the Iron Range to Cook, Minnesota, and I said, I am never going to go back and live in a big city. This was 1975. I went to college at the University of Minnesota in 1965, and I watched, and this was in that beginning of that love revolution or whatever they called it. And I went to college, and I'm a studier, you know that. And in between classes, I'd walk out on the commons area, and here are these kids laying out on the commons area on blankets with a blanket over them, and I'm going, this is not what I signed up for. This is what's happening to our country. I was brought up very conservative in some ways, and it just boggled my mind. Well, it's only gotten worse. You read some of the stuff that's going on in the cities. And I was just talking with a guy yesterday, and we were kind of comparing notes. And where I grew up in the Twin Cities area, I could not walk down those city streets today and feel safe. It's just crazy. And I grew up in a day where we didn't lock our homes, for goodness sake. It's just incredible what's happening. That is all the world. That's not God. All the bad stuff that's going on is Satan and his work and his efforts to fraudulently attribute that to our Father and to our Savior. In the fall, I intend us to take a trip down the history of Christianity. And I'm not a history teacher, so this isn't going to be a history lesson. This isn't going to be what I thought about history. Dull, boring. There were two classes I did not like. History was one of them because the teacher required you to memorize the dates and the names of people. And I'm terrible at facts. Just ask Kathy. I try to walk around the house. I met this person. I can't remember his name. And then about 10 minutes later, it'll come to me. I do terrible on those kind of, always have, done terrible on those kind of tests. What I'm interested in tackling in the fall is the history of Christianity, where we've gone right and where we've gone wrong. And to get you thinking a little bit about it, we have things that we're doing in our church today that the disciples didn't do, the apostles didn't do. Not necessarily that they're wrong, but the question is, why then did the church move in that direction? And then, of course, we'll be taking a look at the martyrs down through the centuries. We'll finally end up getting to the United States of America, which to me is a fascinating work of God. Okay, politics, I don't think is very godly. There's a few in there, don't get me wrong. But I think what God did with the United States of America was so unique in the history of mankind that it set the platform for worldwide evangelism, my opinion. In this journey, feel free to take those little cards, write notes. They can be positive, but I'm also open to critique and criticism and questions that you might have. You can give them to me. Whether you agree or disagree, I intend that we'll do what the early covenant folks did Where is it written? We'll be asking that question in our discussion. As far as congregational governance, that's not mine. That's the council. So any questions you have, and I'll be trying to pass my request through the council. They've given me a lot of grace so far, and probably will need to give me grace in the future. I try to avoid religious words because religious words annoy people. And so, like I say, if I walk up to somebody and say, I'd like to tell you the gospel, or are you interested in the gospel? In fact, we probably don't even use that word, do we? Because it's religious. But if you walk up to somebody and say, I've got good news, their ears open up, their eyes open up, and then of course you tell them the good news, that Jesus died for me, and they go, oh, one of those, huh? But you got their attention. And so I try to avoid religious words. Had the opportunity to visit a lady this last week. Serious mental illness, struggling. And so I just talked with her just like a friend. No religious words or anything like that. And we talked about where she could maybe get some help and find a church. And I'll get to that. Actually, right now. Our resources. What do we have to provide the world? What do we have in this church to provide the world? Anybody? Nothing, huh?
Ourselves.
What's that?
Ourselves.
Dr. David Jeremiah put it this way this week. What we have is experience and wisdom, ourselves. And so I thought, let's see how many are here today. 17. Almost forgot me. Well, I've been in the Lord for 55 years. And if you've been in the Lord for about the same time, let's say I'm going to do easy math, 20 people who've been serving the Lord, walking with the Lord for 50 years, some more, some less, but let's average it at 50. 20 times 50 equals what? 1,000 years of experience in Jesus in this church. One millennia of experience in this church that we have as a resource. And Dr. Jeremiah put it this way, and I scribbled this down as fast as I could when I was listening to him, so sort of a paraphrase. If we do our job, if we do our part, we'll see a resurgence among the more senior people of our churches that will result in blessing the younger by helping them with our gained wisdom and experience and helping them to avoid learning the hard way. So I set that before us as a challenge. Now, the only way we're going to get 1,000 years worth of experience is for us to work together. And our gifts and our callings, and I'll get to that in a second. So let's start with Isaiah chapter 35. And verse 8. And a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. In Isaiah, it's called a highway of holiness. We are on that journey. We are on that trip. We are on that road. Now, if you're like me, we wander off, then we wander back, and we try to stay on that road. By the way, just for your interest, in Psalm 23, David writes, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I've heard sermons that have told me that the rod, not necessarily the staff, but the rod was for beating the sheep back in line. That was not what it was for. You're raising sheep. You don't want to damage your sheep. You want them to be healthy, so you're not going to beat them. But the rod and the staff were used for guiding them in different directions. And so in my prayer life, many times I tell the Lord, my plan is to stay on the path, but if I get on the path, your rod and your staff comfort me, because I know I'm going to feel a little prodding to get back on track. In Psalm 16:11, David's prayer to God is, "Show me the path of life." What is that path you want me on? In Psalm 27:11, David said, "Make it a plain path." Now that's the word in my version, plain. But will it really, what it means is clear. Show me a clear path. And if you're like me, you've probably struggled with that. How do I see clearly what you want me to do? In Psalm 119, verse 105, Amy Grant's famous song, "Thy word is a light unto my path." And that's how we keep seeing those steps ahead that we need to take. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Each one of us will walk in our own path." If I had my way, we'd have a great big whiteboard up here, like, several of the broadcast preachers use them, because visual is often very helpful. Robert Morris uses it. And I would show you on that whiteboard all of our paths. And as we travel, we're all at different distances. And we're going at different speeds. There's nothing wrong with that. We shouldn't be criticizing each other for where we're at on the path. We should be encouraging each other that we are on the path. Amen? I almost fell off this thing. I got both of my eyes, what is that called again? Cataract surgery. After you're done with the surgery, you get a little piece of paper that says the next day you can resume normal activity. So I resumed normal activity without glasses, the surgery. So that was about a month before I could get a prescription for these new lenses. So I'm going without glasses for that whole month. And so I got the prescription and waited for the glasses to come in. Finally came in. I went over and got the glasses. Came to church to to study, and they're, you know, freaking me out because they're so different from not having glasses. The very first day I got my glasses, I fell down the back stairs because I found out that with this new prescription, and I looked down to see where I'm supposed to step, a series of steps disappears. It's not there because of this graduated whatever trifocal or whatever it is. So now I'm walking down the steps sideways so I can see the steps so I don't fall down the steps again. I want to see where I'm going. You probably feel the same way. Well, my journey, and this will just be a start, because God has done so much for me in my life. One of the things he's done for me is sitting right back there. So this is just kind of be an introduction to my testimony, and I'll add some more to it. But I think you need to know me. Get to know me. This is not the beginning of my journey, but at age 17, I was with my family. My mom and dad took us, all of us kids. There were four of us. My younger brother was about 8 years old at the time. I don't think my older brother was there because I think he was out of the home. But my sister and I and my younger brother and my mom and dad were there. We went to a movie in a movie theater, a Billy Graham movie called Return of the Boomerang. How many saw that movie? Not a one. I have told people that, given my testimony. I have not found anybody else who's seen that movie. It was in black and white. It was about Australia, and that's all I can tell you. I have no idea what the plot of the movie was. But at the end of the movie, they gave an invitation, and I was like up and out of my seat. Didn't have to ask me twice. Couldn't tell you what motivated me in my mind, but I can tell you that the Holy Spirit moved on my heart. And I took about three steps and looked back at my family, and nobody else was moving. I had two choices at that point. Go back, well, probably more than two choices, go back, or just keep going. And I'm kind of bullheaded sometimes. What do you call it? She's got a different word for it, but it's about the same thing. And so I just kept going down front, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord. In the Bible, it says that the Holy Spirit will bear witness to your spirit that you're a child of God. I have no question that I'm a child of God. The Holy Spirit bore witness to my spirit and has been bearing witness ever since. I struggle with some people that I talk to who say that they're Christians, but aren't sure that they're Christians, and say, how do I know? And I'm going, the Holy Spirit bears witness to your spirit. And then I go, well, maybe we should talk about how you know that you're a believer. After that event, nothing much changed in my life. I wasn't in a church that did discipleship. I was in a Lutheran church, which is sort of our background in the covenant. We came from the Scandinavian Lutheran branch of Christianity. But our Lutheran church was a high Lutheran church, very, very close to Catholic in its rituals and service and so forth. And so there wasn't much there to go with, and so I just went on with life. And we sang that hymn today that reminded me of this. And Barb read that scripture about in the Old Testament when Israel wanted a king. And then I think it was Samuel said, you're going to have problems because your king is going to put you into the army and make you fight wars. And I thought back to those days in Vietnam, in the Vietnam era. And so I joined the service, and my first duty station after boot camp and school was in near Washington, D.C. An elderly couple invited us to their Presbyterian church. Sounds safe, doesn't it? Presbyterian church. And we went to that church, and in that church, in a Presbyterian church, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Okay, we can deal with that later. To me, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of Mike. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's gifts that come with it. Different gifts, as I mentioned before. Some I don't have, some I do have. But it changed my life. That was the moment that I decided my life is Jesus or nothing. All or nothing. And so when I was done with my service time, they came to me and they offered me $10,000 to stay in and kicked me up another rank to first class. And I said no, because I know now what I've got to do. Left the Navy, went immediately into Bible college at St. Paul Bible College, which is now called Crown College. Christian Missionary Alliance, very similar to the Covenant, very similar to the Evangelical Free Church denomination, and got my bachelor's in religious education. That's just an introduction, but I want to mention one more group of things. I've been a lead pastor, I've been a youth pastor, I've been an outreach pastor, I've been a visitation pastor. I've been an evangelist. This is probably one of the most humorous parts of my life. Traveled one set of evangelism, traveled with a born-again Catholic priest, a born-again Episcopal priest, and I was the token Protestant. And we traveled the United States and Canada doing tent revival meetings. What a motley crew. And of course, the Catholic priest, they have their fancy thing, turned around collar kind of thing. Well, the Episcopal priest has that too. And I just look different. But we had a great time. We had a great time talking about our faith and what Jesus meant to us. Probably the best experience that I've ever had of crossing denominational lines and reminding me what Dr. Martin Luther King said, that the most integrated hour of the week is Sunday morning. We are believers in Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, we are believers in Jesus, and when we run into believers in Jesus in our community, we are one. We're going to have differences of opinion. I hope that we will be able to discuss some of those differences of opinion, because that's how we grow. I believe that's how we grow as people. I've done coffee houses when coffee houses were in. Always have done home Bible studies. I love those. Been part of the Jews for Jesus movement with Moish Rosen. Been part of the charismatic movement. Been part of the full gospel movement. Been part of the Jesus people movement. At that time, there was a movie called Time to Run. Now, anybody remember that one? All right. Got a few. Yes. And we saw hundreds of kids come to Jesus through that film down in the Hutchinson, Silver Lake, Wilmer area where I was ministering at the time. I've seen kids come to know the Lord. I've seen kids dedicate their lives to service. In fact, there's three pastors on the Iron Range right now who have been a part of my walk on since I came to the Iron Range. I consider them friends. Some of them are quite different than I am in ministry, but I still consider them friends. Finally, this morning, and we can't cover it all, but don't have enough time. When I came to the Iron Range, I came as called as an apostle to the Iron Range of northeastern Minnesota. This is my area. This is my life. This is where I serve. I've served as an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, but who is Mike? I don't have any of those calls. Permanent calls. I don't know how you explain it. Who is Mike? Mike is just a servant, just like you. That's all it is. No fancy titles, although I'm being greeted now as pastor, thank you. But we're just servants. I'm just a servant. God asked me to do something, I want to do it. Whatever it is. So thank you for your attention during this introduction. And we will continue the journey together. Again, challenge me. Correct me. Debate me. I love contradiction, because out of contradiction we can find, search the word and find the truth. If you turn with me, hymn number 315, this is sort of an example of my nonsense. I'm going through the hymns, and I come across this hymn that says, way down on the bottom, right-hand side, it says Zulu Melody. I'm going, I want to know what a Zulu melody is. I've never heard of a Zulu melody. And I'm thinking, you know, in my mind, here's these whole sets of drums, and like they did at the conference annual meeting, they had kids from one of the churches come in and rhythm, and they were dancing, and that's what I'm envisioning. Well, probably not going to get that today, but I thought, let's give it a try. So I sent a note to Judy and said, is this even doable? So this is our trial, okay? for number 315, a Zulu melody. And while we stand...
Jesus' name, oh, let me sing its sweetest name I'll ever know. He has set me free to praise Him as upon my way I go. To young and to the older is the name a joyful word. It can call and it can gather wandering sinners to the Lord. Name of Jesus, song.
Oh, yeah.
By Jesus alone can make me whole. Name of Jesus, it sounds sweetly. Let it ring the world around. This bears faith and promise for us all. Let it resound. It gives way and evil shudders. From that holy name they flee. In that name shall God's own kingdom break like dawn and set us free. Name of Jesus, heaven's greeting. It brings love into my soul. In that name I find salvation. Jesus alone can make me whole. Shining on through night and trouble is His wondrous lovely name. Leading people on their journey to a haven safe for them. When the sun has ceased its shining, Jesus' name will light our way. Praise my multitudes unnumbered, praised in heaven's perfect day. Name of Jesus, heaven's greetings, it brings love into my soul. In that name I find salvation. Jesus alone can make me whole.
I like that. Shall we sing a blessing to each other?
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face.